we're back. You are listening to KHNS Haynes, Skagway, and Clukwan. It's 10:02 and time for Art Matters, brought to you by the Arts Alaska Arts Confluence, aiming to inspire a culture of collaboration by supporting artists and the arts for residents and visitors of the Chilkat Valley on Main Street in Haynes and online at alaskaartsconfluence.org. And we have Heather.
And Marley.
And I guess we should do a real quick introduction for Marcos here.
Marcos Nahada is our guest in the first half of the show, and he is one of the directors of Lynn Canal Community Player Summer Youth Theater Conservatory. So we'll be talking all about that. If you saw the float in the parade here in Haynes, it was pretty fabulous. And the kids are all busy getting ready to produce a show here in the next 3 weeks. Also, on the second half of the show, we're going to have Yuko Hayes. And Yuko will be creating portraits live on site sketches as part of First Friday tomorrow at the Alpenglow on Main Street. But she's also just returned from a year in Philadelphia, an art school, and is going to tell us about her new adventures and a little bit about some of the things that have inspired her here and what's going on with that.
Excellent. So
that's all coming up.
Right. And then that's just one of the things that's going on at the First Friday.
Yeah, so I've got, have you seen this great thing that the Arts Confluence produced with the First Friday? You may have seen them downtown. There's the street signs that say Haynes First Friday here. And you see them in front of Alaska Rods or in front of Ampersand or Caroline's Closet or all around town.
Yeah.
Hammer Museum. It's just, they're cool.
Magpie
down the street there. Yeah, so these are some of the things that are coming up on the July 6th, First Friday, at Second Nature is open, an eclectic nature store. If you haven't been there, it's up above the old Gutenberg dump in Haynes, and they've got really, really cool things. Mark Causey has a lot of neat stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Second Nature.
And fermentation supplies and teas and berry picking things and just cool things. So stop in there. The Loft is also the new, they've moved recently and now they're over by the old LAB building.
Yeah.
And she's got all kinds of gently used clothing. Babbling Book and Dragon's Nook are going to have John Svensson's two-dimensional work with traditional Alaska themes. So that's always fun. Ampersand is always the hub of the First Friday. Joni's Old Gallery is now owned by Andrea and Amelia. The Pioneer Bar has got an open mic at 9 o'clock. Alaska Rods has Dina Selby, photographer and author, and they'll have refreshments and you can meet Dina there. And also the Magpie is celebrating the beauty and wisdom of flowers with new work by Mandy Ramsey, who's a poet and a yogi and a gardener and an artist and lots of things going on. Rusty Compass has Brian Starseth, a wildlife photographer, and they will be open all day on First Friday. You can go in and see his artwork. And the Hammer Museum, of course, is always just fabulously exciting there. And they've done a lot of work. At the Sheldon Museum, Wayne Price is going to be doing a carving demonstration. And also, of course, you can check out their whole Everything From Afar Drifts Ashore. Great exhibit upstairs there. Lynn View Mercantile is open, and they're right across from the cruise ship dock. And they're going to have Maxworks gold and exquisite jewelry, as well as refreshments from 5:30 to 8. Another photographer, Tom Ganner, is going to be at the Port Chilkoot Distillery, Rim to River, a photographic essay of the Grand Canyon and the Colorado River.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling like you're in Arizona right now, you might be.
Yeah.
So that's all happening, and lots of fun on First Friday. And thanks to the Arts Confluence for the handy map and the signs and encouraging us all to get out and about. And now we're going to talk with Marcos. Welcome.
Who's from Arizona, by the way?
Are you really? Well, introduce yourself for us. Go ahead and tell us how
you'd
like to be.
Well, I want to go down to First Friday right now, even before I introduce myself. I wish it was First Thursday. No, thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited to be on your show, Heather and Marley. And so you want me to talk about myself?
Yeah, tell us your story, who you are and how you got here and what you're doing here.
It's the hardest question always for me to answer, but I love that this is a creative community because I think everybody in Haynes will understand me. It's a little harder when, you tell people who are not arty people what to do when you do a lot of kind of creative things, right? Uh-huh. So I'm from Arizona, like I was saying, so I'm glad we're represented here on First Friday. And I call myself a hybrid storyteller because I think that's the closest thing mm-hmm. I've ever been able to come up with a job description. You know, like, you know, we all have friends who are, I'm a doctor, I'm a fisherman, you know, I'm a carpenter, I'm a lawyer. I can't do that, you know? So
I know how you feel.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Marley, you're a program director now.
Well, yeah, now.
And a theater artist and, you know, and a dog lover, all these things. So I call myself a hybrid storyteller. And it's the closest thing I've ever been able to come up with. But the three things I say I do mainly is I'm a theater artist. And so I act and direct in Los Angeles. And I, too, am a radio guy. I'm a public radio reporter down in Los Angeles. And I report for... I guess it would be kind of like the Heather and Marley show down in LA. It's called The Frame, and we cover arts in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm totally at home with you guys. It's
Uh-oh, now so we great. Better up our game yeah, because I we guess, have somebody yeah. that knows how to do this.
Yeah, you didn't say that.
I didn't say that. I think I probably need to up my game to be with you guys. But and I'm a teacher. And uh-huh. so I've done those three things pretty much, you know, my whole life. You know, I went to school to be a journalist and a teacher, and as a theater artist, I've been that since I was a kid. Growing up in Arizona, my first role was as a chicken in an Arizona opera production, and my sister played a clock, and you know.
So teaching, what grades or what age group did you? So
I went to graduate school to do what's called sheltered language instruction. So in theory, I should be a social studies teacher. And
so wait, slow down there. Sheltered.
Sure. Sheltered language instruction. So students who were learning English as a second language, and you do the same, you know, you do the exact same content in the classroom, but you help someone who is learning a language how to get the content and learn the language at the same time. So that's in essence, I should be a social studies teacher. But I knew coming out of grad school that I didn't want to ignore the artist side of me because I've been an artist since I was a kid. And I'm also, like you guys, you know, a lover of radio. So I have been looking my entire life to figure out a way to bring those three things together. Hence, I call myself a hybrid storyteller because I refuse to give up any one of the three. So I find ways to push them all together all the time.
Okay, so how did you get here to be part of the Lynn Canal Community Players Summer Youth Theater Conservatory?
Well, I love that question because I have heard about Haynes and seen pictures of Haynes for 20-some years, I would say. I went to college with Tresham Gregg's son.
Oh, okay.
Which one?
Rajujra Gregg.
Juge.
Good old Juge, right? So Juge and I went to college together 20-some years ago, and I feel like I know Haynes through Juge because I've heard stories. I've heard stories of Tresham and the family and all you all in the creative community. I've heard about these mountains. I've heard about the fjord. I've heard of Lynn Canal. And so I can't believe I've never been here, actually. But long story short, you know, when I heard that his aunt, Annette, was looking for a director, Juge had called me up in L.A. He said, Do you know anybody? And I said, I do know somebody.
Me.
And, you know, yada, yeah. yada, yada. And here we are.
So are you doing this on your own, or is there a couple of you? Are you working with local people?
I brought up my partner in crime from Los Angeles. Her name is Deborah Piver, and I'm directing the show, and she's running the conservatory part, and then she's assisting me on the show, and I'm assisting her in the conservatory part, so we're kind of like dividing up duties that way yeah. to make sure that all bases are covered. But to tell you about Deb, so Deb and I, we met about 10 years ago. I got cast in a show in San Francisco with a company that she has been a part of for many years called Cornerstone Theater. She used to be the education director. And she used to run their summer conservatory. So I did the show, and I did their conservatory. They do community-based art. And went up and did the show in San Francisco. And about that time, she and I decided, hey, let's start working together down in Los Angeles. And so we did. And we now are on the faculty of the LA Music Center, which is, so when you come to visit Los Angeles, that's where the symphony is, the opera, and there's a theater division called Center Theater Group. And so we've taught and worked there for about 10 years together as partners in crime. And now we're here in Haynes.
And you've stepped into a relatively well-oiled machine. With
Very
this.
Well-oiled.
So it's not like you're program. Reinventing the wheel here. And mm-hmm. Marley is an alumni of this. You were a big part of the Summer Youth Theater Conservatory from its very beginning, when it was like probably the first one.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like I was definitely on that. It must have been the first one.
And then you went off to study theater in college.
Yeah, definitely. The Summer Youth Conservatory was one of my first experiences with being on stage here in Haynes, and it really got me inspired. And so from there,
how old were you?
11, 12.
Oh, wow.
I think it was summer after sixth grade. Must have been.
That's about the time it was.
Yeah.
It began.
Yeah, and so it was also right around the time, like, I think it must have been the year before I went to Fine Arts Camp, because that was like, oh, this is something I want to keep doing. And then I started going to Sitka for their camp and kept coming back and doing the Theater Youth Conservatory.
I got a little older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it all? But that's not all theater, right? That's
yeah,
all
it's
arts?
It's all art. So it's a wide range, and you can take a bunch of different types of classes. And so you'll get a lot of overlap between the Youth Conservatory here and the Fine Arts Camp students that go back and forth. And eventually I kind of grew out of being in the play for the Theater Conservatory. And then I went on and did lights and sound and for a while after that. And it's been great watching it grow. And it's funny you said your sister played a clock in that Arizona, because the first play we did was The Beauty and the Beast, and I was Greedo, and I think my sister was the clock.
Oh, see, that's how we all get into theater. When our sisters play clocks, we're like, okay, we're doing this.
Right. Yeah.
So what amazes me is someone who was also involved in theater in college and through Lynn Canal Community Players.
See, you shouldn't tell me this, Heather, because much like Marley, when I find out people have done theater, I come and I get you and I make you come and do stuff with us.
Well, we're used to that.
Oh, good.
But what totally amazes me about, not to alarm you to that we have high expectations, but the Summer Youth Conservatory, the shows that they put on are so good, and they happen in such a short time with a lot of little children that we all know and love, but also understand can be challenging to get everybody moving in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And on stage and costumed and quiet and not shaking the curtains and hearing you in the back row and all of these things that just logistically are a challenge, much less artistically. How do you do it? How do you put on a show in, 4 weeks, 3 weeks?
Well, we're going to find out, I have to tell you. If you have the answer, let me know. You know, this is an adventure for us. It's very much, you know, like a riddle we are excited to solve, because, you know, we've gotten the chance to watch some of the other shows. We're staying with Annette and Sam over down in Fort Seward, and they've showed us some of the previous productions, and they're fantastic.
That's what I mean. They're really great.
You know, and so we were watching them a couple of days ago, and Deb and I just the DVDs, and we looked at each other and we went, okay,
yeah,
we've got a lot of work to do here, you know.
And a big part of it is, as part of the Arts Confluence, the theme of collaboration, and that's what theater is always about. And so that's why I always feel it's really important to jump on board and help when I can, in all ways that I can. And it was really inspiring, like meeting Deb and Marcos and seeing how much energy they brought onto the project, and so that and knowing how much collaboration is needed for it. So like, I'm already helping them do lights.
Well, on the script, no, who chose the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
Oh, yeah.
How did that happen before you got here, or did you help with that choice?
Yeah, you know, it happened down in Los Angeles when we first started talking to Annette. We found out, you know, about what plays and musicals the conservatory has done before. So we got a sense of the students that come and register for the program. And then we started kind of talking to theater colleagues really around the country who do TYA, theater for young audiences, and we asked for suggestions. We said, you know, we're going up to community in Southeast Alaska. We're very excited to work at the Chilkat Center, and we solicited suggestions from people, and we just started reading scripts. We just started going through them, and we started to learn a little bit about the students that have been here before and thinking about what might be good matches for them. We like to work with what we call the actor's toolkit, the voice, the body, the imagination. And we heard about what the kids had done previously, and we thought, okay, what could give them something really to kind of like sink their teeth into and challenge them to kind of grow those muscles, grow their voices, grow their bodies, grow their imaginations. And we picked The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe ultimately because we thought, well, here is a fantastic story about magic and friendship and family, where they have, you know, all the characters have a riddle to solve. It's not an easy story to tell. It's complicated. It's asking of these actors to jump in there and solve some tricky problems, you know, like when brothers and sisters fight, when good battles evil, you know, and following rules and thinking about the world around you. There's a lot to jump into, and it's not an easy answer. So we thought, aha, this is a group that's up to the challenge because they have a track record of producing really good stories. So we think they're ready for this one. So that's how we picked it.
Well, the Narnia Chronicles of C.S. Lewis was a theologian and a professor, and it appeals to adults as well as children, and there's lots of moral lessons in it, as you point out. But it must be tricky to find a script that is well done for the kids to be able to produce it. So it's not, it's the adaptation as well, and finding that. And how do you choose that?
Well, you know, I mean, luckily there's a lot of playwrights who will take kind of classics, you know, classic stories, like in this case, The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and adapt them so, you know, they're manageable for young audiences. Because, you know, can you imagine if you took the whole Chronicles and put them on stage? Yeah. We'd be here for days. You know, it'd be like some Shakespearean event. And, you know,
that's Brecht. Yeah, that's a Brechtian.
That's a Brechtian thing. And with weather like what you all have here in Haines during the summer, we don't want to be in the theater. Oh, hello, who's this?
This is a lovely little pet.
Friend.
Very cute. But anyway, you know, the weather is so wonderful here in Haines. We don't want to keep people in the theater for 12 hours at a stretch. So this was a wonderful version that had been adapted for young audiences, for young storytellers to tell this with some heft. So that's how we picked it.
Is there a lot of ensemble work? Because I would think it would be, especially with all the different age groups, that you need to have a few perhaps stronger leads, children who are old enough to memorize lines and follow all the directions, as well as a herd of children that would all be able to participate without too much angst on their parents' part to learn their lines.
Well, you know, in a way, I mean, what we told the students when they first came in on day one, we put a basketball on the stage and we put a baseball bat and a golf ball. And we said, what do you see? You know, and obviously they said a baseball bat, a basketball, and a golf ball. But eventually the conversation turned to these are tools that people use in a certain profession. And in that case, it's an athlete. And we talked about, well, where would these athletes use these tools? Well, they would use it on a baseball diamond. They would use it on a basketball court or a golf course. And I said to them, for us, the stage is our basketball court. This is our golf course. This is our baseball diamond. And the tools we use, they're not sporting equipment, but tracking back to what we said earlier, we use our voices as our tool, we use our bodies, and we use our imaginations. And all those are muscles that can be worked. So even if an actor comes in with a voice that can't yet, isn't powerful enough to hit the back of the house, that's what our job is. That's where Deb and I are here to make sure that muscle gets strengthened so whatever student comes in can hit the back of the house. And if movement is not a part of their vocabulary yet, that's our job to help them get there. So we didn't really have a lot of fears about what kids could and couldn't do. We just looked at them and thought, okay, what muscles need to be strengthened? And that's our time here. So hopefully by the time you all come to see the show, it won't be so much about a show per se. It'll be more about tracking a journey that these young artists took to get a lot stronger. And a lot of them are strong already, but we're going to get them stronger, I think, is what we're hoping for.
Yeah, awesome. It's all about building up those tools in your toolkit.
Yeah.
Where do you see the value of this kind of education and this experience for these children in the long run? Not everyone's going to go off to arts college or theater to study theater, but the tools that you're giving them now, what can they do with that?
Oh, Heather, I have to say, I love that as a question because, you know, I teach a lot down in the schools in Los Angeles. And, you know, on a daily basis, I wind up in a school somewhere in Los Angeles County where the students don't care at all about theater. They don't care at all about the arts. They want to go on to be lawyers, or they want to go on to be, you know, NBA players, or they want to be electricians or something that in theory has nothing to do with art. But if you think about it, what I like to share with them is that I can't think of a profession, and maybe you guys can help me, where you don't use your voice, you don't use your body, and you don't use your imagination. Is there one?
I hope
right,
not.
I can't think of that either. And like, regardless, like anything like an NBA player still has to get up in front of cameras and be able to talk eloquently if people are going to pay attention to them. Or, I mean, not necessarily eloquently.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I mean,
but having the confidence, like definitely getting up on stage, have to build confidence, build that self-esteem. So, I mean, even radio, I mean, everything. I feel like having that background of experience and getting on stage, being able to, yeah, use your voice and have control of
every
your body.
Every profession, right?
You really need that. It's just as a human being.
I think, but, you know, you tell me.
I mean, what I love about it, too, is that the children are learning how to express themselves and how to use their body, their voice, their mind to create something that other people will enjoy, but also gives them more self-confidence and hopefully some joy. And the world these days seems to be so much, everything is pre-produced and everything is on devices, and people forget,
say,
you know,
so
that music and art and acting, I have to remind, you know, my grandchildren sometimes, that's somebody wrote the story in this cartoon. Someone's saying those voices. Mm-hmm. Someone's singing that song. It's someone drew the pictures. It's all part of it. And they have to, there's almost such a flood of highly produced entertainment now on all kinds of different devices that we're almost a little in danger of taking that for granted, that you forget that people are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And that moment when you're on the stage and there you are live and it's up to you to respond to whatever's happening in the room or whatever's happening on stage next to you or in the front row or, you know, just like now in the studio, the dog walking in or walking out, you know, and it's such a great skill to reinforce, I think, in children these days.
It's big. And actually for us as adults too, you know, I mean, I think you all have maybe a little bit less of it because you have these majestic mountains to grab your attention. But, you know, down in Los Angeles, it's not weird to see people just like kind of mindlessly walking down the street like zombies, just glued to their phone and bump into each other because they weren't paying attention. And it speaks to kind of that idea that we are kind of getting drawn into our devices, you know? I was telling my mom the other day that I love that I'm having trouble with reception with my cell phone and that I have to walk from the Chilcat Center down to the wonderful library downtown to use the internet. Because it's reminding me that I don't really need those things, you know? They're useful tools, but I want it to be difficult to use my devices because it reminds me of why I do theater. You know, theater, we all come together in a room to be together, mm-hmm. to have an experience together, to hear a story together, and hopefully learn something and experiencing something as a tribe. And I think we are losing it a little bit the more we kind of jump into our devices. So even if you don't care about theater, you want to do it as a job, there is something about learning about humanity, learning about each other when we all come together in a room. I hope, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We've already been talking for almost a half an hour. So I want to, and then we have Yuko waiting for us. But Marcos, can you give us a little bit of a preview of the show and the times and the dates and anything that, even anything that you might need help with, that somebody might want to volunteer to help you with. So let us know what's going on here and what we can do.
So we'll be at the Chilcat Center here the weekend of July 21st and 22nd. The performances are Saturday and Sunday evening. Sunday we're going to make it a little earlier because we know that's a school night, but those will be the days. And we hope the community comes out. In terms of what we need help with, theater is a team sport. You know, right, Marlon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we would love all hands on deck. I mean, even things like casters, we want to create set pieces that the students can easily move off and on the stage with wheels. So, you know, does anybody know where to get casters in Haynes? Can you help me with that?
Right. And so for anyone maybe confused, casters are just wheels on a plate, right? So an omnidirectional or single directional, like that's fine. But, you know, having some movable wheels so we can attach to
So if you have some movable wheels in the shed basement, or you open a closet and movable wheels fall on your head, bring them down.
Those kind of things. Yeah, definitely anyone that has that extra time and craftiness that, like, oh, you know, I don't want to be on stage, but I like painting. Definitely those kind of things, because we have all the actors, the playmakers, and everything. But definitely everything else, that making the props and the set is always it was a lot of fun for me. And so as my profession has progressed away from performing into the set design, set building, like that's become a real passion for me. So having all that type of collaboration, which is another beautiful thing about theater, is that you need everyone there at the same time to really bring everything together.
I also want to give a plug for the new light and sound system in the theater. Just learning how to use that.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
And we always need more people that know how to use that.
So that would be just a great thing yourself to learn how to do it, and it would help the show if you wanted to jump in on some of that.
Really.
And something that might sound kind of odd, but we're looking for clothes that people don't want that are white, or you don't mind if we paint them, but we do want a lot of white clothes because we're playing with the idea of what can winter look like, you know. So if you have some white clothes that you're gonna donate or get rid of anyway, we'd love that. And but one on a practical level, what would be really wonderful is if people here in town you know, come across a student who's an actor in the show, check in with them and see, hey, can we help you run your lines? And so if they can find ways to support them mm-hmm. and cheer them on.
How many are there? How many children are in the show?
We have almost 20.
Wow.
Yeah, with a range of ages. So there's a lot of...
And the ages are...
Oh, gosh. They're from itty-bitties, like, you know, around kindergarten age up to mid-teens. So there's quite a range. And we want them to know that, you know, that they are supported and we're cheering them on to build those muscles this summer. And Learning Lines will always be a part of it. So if you see a young person down there at the parade grounds working with their script, sit down with them and run lines with them. That would be great.
Well, thank you so much, Marcos, for coming, and thanks for being here. And I hope this becomes maybe a regular summer thing for you.
Oh, we're so honored to be here and tickled. I mean, like I say, Juju has been telling me about Haynes for 20-some years, so it's kind of magical to, poof, here we are.
Yeah, very nice.
All right, and then once again, one more time to put it on your calendar, the show is the weekend of July 21st.
Correct.
Right, Friday, Saturday, and an earlier one on Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. Friday will be a dress rehearsal.
Oh, so Saturday and Sunday.
Right. Uh-huh. Friday's a dress rehearsal, and if people are, we're not sure if that's going to be a public dress rehearsal, mm-hmm. depending on where the young actors are at that time, it might be, but hold for that. We'll let you know.
Okay. All well, right. Great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Marcos.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to switch our guests here and take a little break. Thanks, Heather. And here's a little 14th Street break.
That was so exciting. That was really neat. I'm happy that Marcos is here and that he's doing the show with all these kids. And now we have someone a little more local. Yuko Hayes. Hi, Yuko. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Hi. Good morning,
everybody. Yuko, we have you here today for your artistic ability. And so would you like to introduce yourself for people that might not know you, or introduce yourself as you'd like to be introduced for the program this morning?
Okay, I'm Yuko Hayes, and I'm resident in Haines since 2002. I moved from Japan with my family, Ed Hayes, and two sons, Kai and Mori. And then they graduated high school, so I went to art school last fall called Studio Incominati in This
Philadelphia.
Is Philadelphia. Ed said, just say Philly.
Philly.
Philly works.
Yes. And I'm here for summer break.
Now, Yuko, weren't you a teacher?
Yes, I was in Head Start program 10 years as a teacher aide.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, worked with Karen Bryant. It was a great experience.
And then how did you, were you always an artist as a child or as a young, did you study art or did it just sort of happen when you were in Haynes?
I was always, the kids loves drawing. You know, one of the kids always drawing princesses and I loved the manga animation and things. Mm-hmm. And I did some, art was my favorite subject through year, mm-hmm. the school year. And then I did oil painting in high school, but that was about it. And I didn't think about myself to continue pursue the as an artist, career as an artist. So maybe I draw time to time occasionally, but nothing to so much in depth. Mm-hmm. But 3 years ago, I was helping Donna Catari's garden.
And right, you share a garden with artist, local artist Donna Catari, yes, who's Donna Catari. A portrait artist.
And then Donna discovered this school, studio in Cominati, and she invited, she organized to have a workshop next summer. And then she was excited talking about that. And then so I said, Donna, can I take the workshop too? And
really? So it was just right then. And those were the workshops that did like the portrait of Lonnie Hotch, right?
Right. Yes.
So you hadn't done that before and you just jumped into those portrait sessions.
And so Donna helped me to prepare for next summer. And then I loved it. The teacher's name was Lee White. And then I just loved that way she taught us. And then the next summer we have Jofang Lu came again, and then
I got to sit and that was really interesting to hear how to paint a portrait and just listening. Well, I was sitting there listening to her talk about the colors and the shading and maybe you could you know more about it than I do.
Yeah, I just always thought the art is more something the only, like, depend on the people has talent and then do it at their own. But this school has so much things to teach you as a skill and like a passed on from old masters to, so there's a lot to practice. And then I feel like I'm so fortunate to be there. Yeah.
Now, for those of us who aren't artists or maybe who are thinking that maybe we used to be a little bit, but how could we make the leap that you've taken? What were there some things that you learned in that workshop that summer, the skills that were so surprising to you and seemed so simple once you were told them? Is there anything like that that popped out kind of as a, aha, now I know how to do this specific thing that I wasn't able to do before?
I'm not sure I can answer that, but the...
Like big, one thing, like how to make a bowl look round or how to make a skin look real or how to make an eye glisten or something like that.
The bigger thing first year from what Lee taught us was you always step back and look from distance, right? And then squint your eye and then so you see the whole picture as an abstract. And everything colors, barrier, in the relations. And then everything she was talking seemed to me like a, is she talking about art or life? Or, you know, it just, to me, like, very philosophical. And I was just so happy to hear anything like that. And then, she applied to her drawing and painting. And then I was just so fascinating to hear everything.
So by philosophical, things like stepping back and seeing the big picture instead of getting caught in the tiny little details that we drive us crazy and not realizing how much good is there, that type of thing, or even having other eyes on your projects or working together, or what were some of the things that came out of that for you?
In school, we are practicing a lot of beginning, how to capture the gesture, and then how to make, I did a lot of figure drawing, and then the human body is very complicated, but we need to see as a simple, simple structure. And then to simplify is very challenging for me, easy to get caught up to detail how to do eyelashes and things, but that's not important. You make everything more manageable, simple mass blocks, and then start from there, and then don't lose the gesture, because we want to have we don't want to lose that. And then so practice beginning of that stage again and again, and then I don't know.
So you really have to look and pay attention rather than what you think the picture's going to look like in the end. You just let it develop by watching it.
We are learning how to see things, how to see this world, how to see the human body. We are developing our eye.
So now when you went to school in Philadelphia, this, I'm not going to pronounce it right, Encantata?
Studio Incaminati.
Incaminati.
Yes.
So it's Italian. Is it an Italian? Italian. Incaminati. Okay.
Move forward, I think.
Move forward.
Moving forward. That's.
So when you went to school there, were other students, parents who had children who had graduated from high school like your sons, or were they mostly younger people?
Not mostly younger people. I would say mostly, not mostly, but from age 18 to mid-60.
Really?
And I'm not,
you're young.
And also there's no average. There's so many different backgrounds, so many experiences, and then some just from high school, but that's very, not the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are already at successful artists themselves, but they come back to refine their skills or things. So,
is this a program that is a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year? Will you be going back again to Philadelphia?
My program is called Advanced Fine Art Program, and then which is 4 years program if you are full time student, and I am full time, but they take part time student too. So. But I'm hoping to graduate in 4 years, and I just finished first year. Mm-hmm. So I go back 3 more years.
That's a huge commitment.
Yes. Very thankful to my family's understanding.
And what did you like about Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is great. Great place to study art. And then I live very close to Philadelphia Museum of Art, and then Rodin Museum and things, so I'm very lucky I can walk to those big museums. And then I don't have to, from school to where I live, apartment, I don't have to go through big, busy place. Mm-hmm. I just walk from.
Now, are we going to get to see an exhibit of the work that you've been doing?
I'm talking with Carol Tyman. My happen next month in Art Confluence, but we are still discussing.
Okay, and now you're actually kind of here because of First Friday, and I noticed also at the farmer's market last weekend, you're drawing portraits, quick sketches.
Yes.
Where are you going to be doing that?
And I've been doing at the breweries and mountain market and farmer's market, and then that sketching, quick 20 minutes sketching people's face, wasn't exactly what I did in school last year, but I wanted to connect with community and want to go somewhere people are there, and I wanted to meet people. So that's the best way I thought I can do practice, and then I can connect with community people again.
So people can sit down and you'll do a sketch.
Yes.
And how much does it cost?
No cost. Yes, but I will put the donation jar to help your college tuition. Yes, but basically I'm doing it for myself to keep practicing drawing.
Yuko, that is cool.
That is really cool. I want to stop by.
And it might be nice for just to have a sketch of someone that you love. To keep it and frame it, and it'll be an original Yuko Hayes someday.
Yeah, someday.
We'll say, well, I've got the sketch this she's to do. Mm-hmm. And now the other thing is your school is coming here, right? You're going to be doing a workshop.
Yes,
in Haynes.
June. This is July, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That calendar needs to be flipped. You're right.
July 9th.
So next Monday.
It's coming up, Monday. Yes. And I know we may get Donna Cattati may stop in and tell us a little bit.
The teacher, Natalie Italiano, and then two students taking this workshop are coming today, actually, probably.
Hopefully.
They might be coming up to see us. They want to talk about the workshop, so hopefully they will show up.
Okay, yeah. So this one, though, is going to be a little different. It will have, it's not portraits this time.
This time we are doing still life and then using Kringet, how do you call it?
Regalia
or some.
Or object masks.
Objects. Things. Kindly there. Let us use those as for the painting, and then we are focusing. I think teacher is going to focus color to let us study the color.
So color will be the issue trying to get the
yes. And then this teacher Natalie Italiano, she's so wonderful for her color.
And these will be at the A&B Hall.
Yes,
again.
Workshop is in A&B Hall, and then Tuesday night she's going to do public demonstration in museum. Haynes Museum.
Sheldon Museum.
Museum. So that's open for public.
And
just listening, I'm hearing people. I keep waiting because I know I don't want to ask you too much
about
it if they're coming. You're looking at me saying,
maybe we'll take a little. We'll
all right,
play
yeah,
a little
that
music
sounds good.
And we'll
play a little
cause
music,
I think
then we'll come back.
We've got about 15 minutes and left. Some friends coming up, so we'll take a little break
way.
And we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
while we're waiting for the folks from the workshop to hopefully get in here before 11 o'clock, I thought we'd just take a quick check around about what we've all been reading, because that's always a favorite feature of Lynn Canal Art Matters. And it is summer, and there is a certain, I don't know, it seems in the winter it's easier to read around here. Summer reading, maybe for the rest of the country, the time when you lie around and read, but around here it's harder.
Yeah, it's a little busier.
But Marley, what have you been reading?
I've been actually rereading The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which has been fun, but I've been reading more recently, Ken Kesey. So his one of his later works, Demon Box, is actually a collection of his short stories. So in a variety of voices. So he takes on a new personality called Devlin Debris.
And so this is a little like Chronicles of Narnia. It's a little like C.S. Lewis when he did the whole, you know, the screw tape letters where he has the devil and talking back and forth. Anyway, go ahead.
I guess
just connecting it to our
first, to have that through line, definitely. And so he talks a lot about kind of being on the farm and kids, kind of like post, kind of after he got out of jail, and then post hippie movement, and of something that he kind of inspired, and then actually kind of became a little more disgusted of. And kind of goes over like the deaths of Neil Cassidy and kind of those heroes, kind of in the post hippie generation, and then it kind of covers his travels of like going to Egypt and looking for the secret tomb of or the secret tunnels of the angels or something. And
so now, do you read? Are you on a paperback? Are you on a device?
Actually, that's funny.
Or do you
I have podcasts. Podcasts,
like listening, or not podcasts? I guess Audible.
Audiobooks. I haven't listened to a good audiobook in a while. But actually, funny, I have that Ken Kesey book in both hardcover and paperback, which is really funny.
So you can just carry it all around.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, Yuko, do you have a good book that you've just finished?
Yeah.
Or one you're working on?
This spring, I don't read so much books, but I read Ishmael, and that was good.
And you liked it? What did you like the most about it?
Just to remind me how the importance of sustainability. But my son, Kai, recommended to read it. So I took it to Philadelphia, and I didn't read it, but I wanted to finish reading before come back to home, so I did. And it was good.
Good, Ishmael. Yeah, that's a kind of along the lines of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's one of those coming-of-age sort of books. What have I just been reading? I'm kind of doing the mindfulness thing, you know, trying to find a little more time and paying attention. And so I was reading one called After the Ecstasy, the Laundry by Jack Kornfield. And then The Remarkable Ordinary is a series of essays by a guy named Frederick Buchner. And I enjoy those. And then because they're nice in the summertime to read sort of little things in the morning that help me, you know, practice gratitude and paying attention, like you talk about with your art and, you know, the ways to walk in the world, and even how to manage all the different shouting and yelling that's coming back and forth everywhere. It seems like instead of checking Facebook, it might be better just to read a little meditation and look out at the trees and the birds and think quieter thoughts. So that's been just my own sort of personal thing. And then speaking of children giving me books, my daughter gave me a book called Lillian Bockfish Takes a Walk. And it's based on a true story of one of the first women who was a big-time advertising executive for Macy's. And she wrote lots of little jingles. And it's about, she's 84, and she's taking a walk on New Year's Eve through Manhattan. So there's two things happening. You're wondering if she's going to be okay because she's walking to a New Year's Eve party by herself, and she's 84 years old. And then she goes past all these different landmarks and tells you the story of her life. And so I liked it. I liked the structure of it, and I liked the story. And both of the stories kept me interested. It wasn't one of those where you're flipping ahead to see if she's getting somewhere because you're tired of her talking about when she had children. It's everything. Just about the time you were done with one story, you'd be back in the other story, and it worked for me. So that's by a young writer named Catherine Rooney. So that's kind of what I've been reading, but there's lots of choices, and I know the library is full and the bookstores are full in both Haynes and Skagway, and it might be a good idea to go back and reread some of the Narnia Chronicles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you're,
I was just thinking about
Ken
that.
Kesey. I mean, I haven't read those in a long time, or read them to a young person.
Yeah, I was just because you know, as my mom has been retiling their house, their lower room, so I'm getting a bunch of those kind of old boxes, and I have the box of books, and I have the collection of the J.R.R. Tolkien and the C.S. Lewis collection, and actually it's her old collection of C.S. Lewis books, and like they have that nice kind of musty smell, but they've held together really well, and so the whole collection is really great, like the Silver Chair and Magician's Nephew, which is where they start out. Kind of it's like a prequel that he wrote later. And of course, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a great classic. and of course, as they're doing the Theater Conservatory this year with that, I think that would be a good one to kind of go back and reread.
Yeah, those guys, you know, C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, they were both at Oxford together.
Yeah.
And they were both like professors, and they both were theologians.
Yeah.
And they both wrote these really cool children's books, but not really, like wink wink, nudge nudge.
Yeah.
They're a little bit like Madeleine L'Engle's A Wrinkle in Time, where that now is a really popular movie. I'd love to see it with Oprah and everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we have to wait till whenever we can see it here, but you know, the same idea where they're writing for children or young adults, but they're absolutely great for
adults. Yeah, and then going back and rereading them as adults, you get a lot more of like the themes. They're a little might go over the heads.
Yeah, you think to yourself, wow, this is kind of grown up for the kids, but they didn't get that part. Anyway, well, Yuko, I want to thank you very much for coming in. I don't think we're going to make it with the other gang, and we're going to do maybe you can remind us one more time. The workshops start on July 9th.
That's right.
And do you know if they're still open, if people can still sign up, or are you full?
Oh, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe people can contact Donna Cattari.
Donna Cattari would be the one to contact,
yeah.
And she's easy to find. She's got a website at Donna Cattari Art Studio.
Yeah, I can tell you her phone number right
now. Why don't we do that? That would be great.
766-2707.
So 766-2777 or 07?
2707.
07. Okay, 766-2707 is Donna's number. Mm-hmm. And there will be a demonstration on Tuesday night at the Sheldon Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to meet the artist and she? Is it she?
She, yes,
that's coming?
Definitely.
And so we'll talk a little bit about what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's run down First Friday stuff one more time.
One more time.
To make sure. And, you know, this is oftentimes... the things that are posted, there might still be other stuff going on. It seems like almost everybody has something fun happening during First Friday.
I don't think the brewery.
And the brewery wasn't on this list this time. So the brewery is where Yuko is going to be doing her.
Yuko's at Alpenglow.
Yuko's at Alpenglow, and
outside,
the brewery's got stuff happening.
They usually do.
The distillery does. Caroline's Closet has Gilbert Blaise, the owner of Singing Bird Farm, a.k.a. hand-painted and Alaska-inspired silk art and more. And I think I saw one hanging in the window on the 4th of July.
Oh,
there was a beautiful top that I stopped and looked at, and it sounds like that must be that. It looked like a silk shirt that was really pretty. And the Magpie has Mandy Ramsey celebrating the beauty and wisdom of flowers. Wayne Price will be having a carving demonstration at the Sheldon Museum. Lynnview Mercantile, off by the cruise ship there. It's a great little art gallery if you haven't been in there. Killeen Adams has done a wonderful job, and there's all kinds of local and interesting and unique things there. And this will be Maxworks Gold Exquisite Jewelry, and there'll be refreshments. Tom Ganner is bringing the Grand Canyon to Haines in the Colorado River, and he'll be at the Port Chilkoot Distillery. The Hammer Museum is always a world-class collection full of surprises. Dina Selby is a photographer and author and will be at Alaska Rods. The Babbling Book and Dragon's Nook, we've got John Svensson, two-dimensional work and traditional Alaskan themes. La Loft is having a sidewalk sale. Beverly Shoup, I forgot Beverly Shoup, Art on Main Street at the Arts Confluence Gallery. Beverly, who's also a part of your group, right?
Beverly has been taking workshops.
Yes, she does the regular workshops with you. And Beverly will be featuring big country, small landscapes, plein air inspired acrylic and oil paintings. And that means outside. You may have seen Beverly painting on the side of the road on her easel or down by the beaches. And she's going to be featuring some of those paintings.
Right.
And
yes.
I know I have one of hers, and I just love them. They're beautiful, and it's neat that she paints from life like that. So, there's a little note that's coming in the door. But Rusty Compass has Brian Starsith. I hope I'm pronouncing Brian's right. Oh, and there is room in the workshop. That's excellent. What Don just said. So if you'd like to take it, Still Life. Mm-hmm. And it's how many hours a day is it, Yuko?
9 to 4, I think.
9 to 4.
Yeah.
And 4 days?
The lunch break, 1 hour.
There's a lunch, 1 hour lunch break, 9 to 4. And how many days? Do
you 5 know? Days.
5 days. Monday. Big commitment.
Yes.
But it could change your life. Like
yes.
It changed Yuko's.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't change your life as drastically, you'll be mm-hmm. able to see.
You learn a lot.
You'll learn yes. a lot. Yes. Thank you.
And
okay,
have,
I think
you can have fun.
I think it's 11 o'clock. We got to go, Marley.
That's about all the time. Yeah, we filled it up.
Well, thank you.
That was
you.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather. This
okay.
was great. Thank you,
right.
Yuko.
Thank you.
Thank you
thank
for
you
coming
for
in.
Me.
And see everybody tomorrow evening downtown Main
downtown.
Street in Haines. And next week, we got to make sure we get some more Skagway and Clockwan in. I apologize.
Yeah.
Summer's so busy, and I know everybody in Skagway is slamming it. And
oh, yeah.
We are all the way around. So thanks for the folks that were able to get here today. Thank
excellent.
You.
Thank you.
Thank okay. you. And we'll see you next time.